25 minutes after the hour in the central time zone of the U.S. of A here on a Tuesday morning. You're tuned to Broken Road Radio, and we welcome Don Clark, Dr. Don Clark, to the well, he's not in the studio. He's in his vineyard, his palatial estate in Garden Valley, Texas.
I was about to bring up do a quick search to find out what Don's name was, because for as you paused, I said, "Oh no, he's forgot his name. Oh no, oh no."
No, it was like for dramatic effect.
Oh, is it dramatic?
Yeah,
effect?
Yeah.
Everybody
okay.
would wonder
see,
who is
yeah.
it.
Well, I'm actually not in my vineyard. It would be a little cold to sit out
well,
in the vineyard
true.
To do this.
Yeah.
Maybe I can get a picture of the vineyard in the background, and then you can look at the vineyard.
I'd like. I wonder, would they be all shriveled and shivering now? How did the grapes withstand the cold that we've had here in Texas?
Well, they go dormant, of course, when it starts to get below 50 degrees, especially at night. And
do the grapes, all their
leaves are just sticks in the air at the moment.
I was wondering if they complained. Maybe they just it gets cold and they let out a little wine.
Well, yeah, no whining.
Old Pindler's joke.
No whining allowed.
Okay.
I have a new recipe, Don, that you could try at the vineyard. It's called Amarone. And you take the grapes. Of course, you have to do this before the snow sets in. And you let them dry on racks for about 2 months. And they raisin. And then you crush them.
Yeah,
and the result is really sweet wine. I mean, it's not really sweet, but it has the reds have more depth and character. And I've got a bottle of Italian Amarone in the other room that I've got the last of it, and it's a red. It's a Valpolicella, and it's got a real deep, rich, not raisiny, but
oxidized.
Yeah, it's oxidized flavor. And it's very tasty. Very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's one idea. They're always producing new wines up there.
And I would think you could use that with any grapes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they use it with...
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I would think that any grapes would work out. They make a dessert wine, then they call it Pasito. But they use... Sagarantino, I think it is Sagarantino, which is a southern Italian grape. I've never heard of it being anywhere else, but that's very tasty as well.
Okay, well, so much for wines. The topic now.
Maybe next year we can have some Amarone. Huh? What do you think?
It would take a little while. I have some grapes first.
The topic is
that I've got to dry them.
E-fuels. You need grapes, and then you dry them.
This is like trying to...
Then you need to ferment them, and then you need to age them. So it would be a while.
Step by step. Yep.
Who's in charge here anyway?
I don't know. You better take hold of this conversation, or else
we're doing fine. Did you want something?
Well, I'll tell you what. I found this article that just I was riveted by it the other day, and it's about the Porsche car company investing in a new kind of fuel, and it's manufactured by the highly innovative fuel company, which is based in Chile, and they take wind power and they use that to create electricity, to create the electrolysis that separates hydrogen and oxygen from water, and they capture CO2 from the atmosphere. They combine the two, and they get methane. And then they process that so it gets liquefied, and they say this is a new zero carbon fuel that can actually work in today's automobile engines, that can power everything. And they're investing in it, and Porsche's looking at fueling their racing cars with it. And right now it's like $45 per gallon, but they figure when they mass produce it, they can get it down to about $8 a gallon. And Lamborghini's looking at it. And I communicated this to Don. I said, I'm thinking, wow, you know, if there's a real problem with global warming, and if it's really necessary to lose fossil fuels, what better people to do it than private enterprise? we don't need the government and all these programs and wind farms and all this, that somebody's going to come up with a perfect solution. And I thought, maybe this is it. So I send the information to Don, and he says, gimmick.
Yeah, well, it's a... So they're producing methane. Do you know what methane is?
It's cow gas.
It's natural. It's called natural gas.
Yeah.
Natural gas.
Oh, okay.
Because it's been around for eons and is really readily available. I'm going to, we're going down to Cuba again at the end of the month.
Uh-huh.
And they have a teen challenge, which is really for adults, facility. And in the facility, they have a piggery, and they have a poop capturing pit, if you will, mm-hmm. that is enclosed. Mm-hmm. And out of that, they generate natural gas, which then fuels the stove and the heating and things like that.
I've got to tell you a story. I was reading a news story once. This was on a radio station in Blue Earth, Minnesota, down there, Christian station. And I was just so taken with this story. It was about a guy from Minnesota who had started many companies moving to North Carolina and building a new plant that ran on chicken poop. That's all it used was chicken poop for fuel. And I lauded the experience of this young man, and I said, here we have a genuine Minnesota entrepreneur.
Oh, 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 oh.
The best plant. So that would be methane too, right?
Yes, that would be methane.
Okay.
It produces methane. So bacteria act on the poop or any organic matter, for that matter,
mm-hmm.
Produce one of the products is methane. We used to have methane coming up from the swamps. I mean, I'm sure it still does in Louisiana.
Don't they draw that from landfills? Don't they drive like a pipe down into an old landfill and they can get methane that way too?
Yes, so you lined your landfill, what they normally do anyway now, with a plastic liner. You pile up your waste on the plastic, and then you cover that, and then put a pipe down, and out comes methane at the other end. Matter of fact, I've got a couple in my home group. He is involved in building these methane plants, if you will, methane recovery plants from landfills and specifically, and he's got so much business they can't keep up with the demand.
Okay, so company, the highly innovative fuel company, makes e-fuel by combining CO2 and hydrogen from seawater, apparently. From a toilet, you know, you probably did this in junior high school, or you run electricity into the water and it separates the hydrogen and the oxygen. They capture the hydrogen, which they call green hydrogen. They combine it to make methane, and then they liquefy it. Are you saying that that whole process, to begin with, is unnecessary because of the abundance of methane?
Completely unnecessary because we've got bacteria to do the job. You don't need these billion-dollar windmills and electric generators to do the hydrolysis of water to give you the hydrogen. You also need to reduce the carbon dioxide because carbon dioxide is fully oxidized. And so you got to reduce that. And so there's got to be some catalyst involved in that process, probably heavy metals of some sort, which ultimately could be toxic to the environment. And so they're spending all of this money, and the gimmick is that they're calling it carbon zero, carbon neutral, because you take the carbon, you take CO2 out of the atmosphere, and then when you burn the methane, you get water. If you burn it completely and cleanly, you get water and CO2 back. So that's where the carbon neutral comes from. But it's just a gimmick. It's a very expensive gimmick because you can get the same exact product by natural means in landfills, in by capturing the organic degradation products from fertilizer, from natural fertilizer, from poop, from animals, and you can do the exact same thing a whole lot cheaper than the billions of dollars that they're spending on these projects. So
you still have to liquefy it, though. So you could use liquid methane. Is that LPG? Is it liquid natural gas? Is liquefied methane?
You just have to compress it and get it down in temperature, and methane will liquefy, and that's the way you can transport it, safely or safer, and get it into a smaller container other than, if you had a big, gas tank, for example, that you'd have to transport these things around. So, that process is going to take a little energy in order to liquefy it, but you've got plenty of energy there that you're producing in these methane farms, if you will. And big cities are known for generating a whole lot of waste products, and so
they burn off that methane, don't they, as a waste product?
Well, a lot of places have been doing that for years, but like I said, there is this company here in Texas that at least is turning that was a so-called waste into usable energy, and trapping that methane that comes out of the landfills. And these things, and you got an initial cost of putting this into a landfill, but once it's there, the landfill is going to generate that methane for years and years. It's like 15, 20 years in one spot, that you can get this methane from. Same product as what these guys are really struggling hard with in order to make their methane.
I think I better call the governor and clue him in here, I think.
Yeah, so the governor of Texas apparently is footing the bill, at least in part. I think it was $6 billion. $6 billion, with plans to make a $6 billion capital investment. Our great governor here in Texas, Greg Abbott. So he has bought into the climate change lies, and it sounds good on the surface, but when you really dig into it, it's like I said, it's nothing more than a methane generating plant that is extremely expensive, and you can do the same thing with having a little microbes and a little organic matter.
Are we better off by switching from gasoline to methane? I mean, is that an efficient process so that we can get the cost down to the point where it's like gasoline? I mean, does that make sense?
Oh yeah, we could do that with the natural methane that is being produced, and liquefying it. You're going to have to modify your car a little bit, but not much. This is the whole the whole thing from internal combustion engines, which we've had around now for a long time, and this whole idea of going to battery-powered vehicles, you might be able to do it locally, but you're not going to go across country in a battery-powered vehicle, at least not in any reasonable amount of time, because you've got to find charging stations in order to charge your vehicle. And so this is converting methane, into liquid methane, if you will, and then, using that in your automobiles, and then putting up liquid methane stations, or even including them in existing, service stations around the country, would make the most sense. Until and if you actually get the battery technology more refined, so one, it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg, and two, it's not chewing up the environment because you have to dig up tons and tons of rock in order to get the rare earth minerals that you need, metals that you need in order to make the batteries in the first place, and then make it economical that your average person can afford to buy it. Right now, we have automobiles, running, all over the United States, all over the world, that are powered by either diesel fuel or by gasoline or petroleum products, for example, which could be converted over to methane, which is a much cleaner burning fuel than your hydrocarbons are, for example, because you get other things besides carbon dioxide coming out, and hence the need for your catalytic converters to try to completely burn unburnt fuel, for example, and make nitrogen more the nitrogen that also heats up in the engine and oxidizes to completely oxidize that. And so you've got these things that it would be a natural fit to just plug in this liquid methane for a little bit of cost, requiring a different type of fuel tank than your current fuel tank. Of course, it would have to be a pressurized type of tank. Mm-hmm. That you could, you could retrofit your vehicles with relatively easily, and in a much cheaper cost than having to buy a brand new or a new electric vehicle. So that's what these folks are hoping for. That's what the Porsche company is hoping for in this particular project, and Governor Abbott hoping that, we'll just switch over and we'll be innovators in this particular field, but all he needs to do is really invest that money in the reclamation projects at your local landfill, and make sure that every landfill is equipped with these methane capturing systems, and then using that to produce your liquid methane to fuel your vehicles.
Okay, I'm convinced, but the next step is, all right then, from Broken Road Radio is going to propose a solution to the energy crisis then, such as it is, if it's really a crisis, and we'll recommend that we switch to methane processing. So I have a question for you. Who picks up the ball and runs with it from here? If this is the best solution to getting the CO2 out, and we don't even know that that's important, do we? To get rid of CO2.
Oh, the only reason why they're doing that is so that they can call it a carbon neutral, because you've already got CO2 in the air, and we're going to take some of the CO2 out of the air, and we're going to make this methane, and then when you burn it, or burning just means oxidizing it, you produce the carbon dioxide back, and you put that back into the air. So it's kind of recycling the carbon dioxide at the expense of, at a great expense, in order to generate the electricity, in order to do this whole process. Like I said, the microbes automatically do this. We're producing methane, and as you said, either burning it, just burning it off, or now having this capturing this equipment to capture the methane that's generated in these plants. The methane is going to be generated regardless of whether you capture it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The microbes are going to be there, and you need the microbes there in order to take a big pile of your refuse and degrade it over time into a much smaller pile, and then into something that the earth can use. So God gave us the microbes, whether they're bacteria or fungus, to break things down, to break the organic matter down into other types of products. And in this case, a lot of it goes into the production of methane. So
microbes are our friends.
They are. They've been our friends from the very beginning. And, you know, we don't have to work quite so hard at coming up with these technologies that are really not not necessary, only from a you know, political type of thing. Oh, we're helping the environment, and oh, we're going to be the first to you know, put in one of these plants in Texas or in Chile or wherever it happens to be, and so aren't we good citizens of the world? Type of thing.
Well, let's you know. Look at the bright side. So they spend $6 billion and they build this magnificent plant with conference rooms and nice restrooms and employee lounges and cubicles for people to work in, and then they stimulate interest in methane as a fuel. And so somebody else comes along who has a grain of common sense and says, "Hey, wait a minute. We've already got methane."
Let's not carbon neutral methane, which is absolutely a ridiculous statement. It's a ridiculous statement to even suggest that that wouldn't be carbon neutral, because you're taking your organic matter, whether it be paper products or whatever it happens to be, or waste, and you're converting it into methane, and you've got carbon, which, you know, in that case, you know, cellulose, for example, is fixed carbon. So you take that fixed carbon, you break it down, and let the microbes work on it for a while. You do the same thing if you're a gardener and you are making compost. Guess what's happening? The heat that is being generated by the microbes in your compost pile, producing a fertile soil, for example, to put in your garden. All of that is also producing methane, and that we don't see it or smell it, because methane is odorless, you know, by itself. And so you have, you know, it goes up into the atmosphere and we don't do anything with it. But every gardener could be producing a little bit of methane if they would just trap the gases coming out from their compost pile. And, you know, we could... And you know, if we did this on a massive scale, for example, made huge compost piles and commercialized it, and then you could have, instead of putting synthetic fertilizers on our fields for agriculture, we put the composted material down, which is far richer and has a much broader range of nutrients in it. Not only do we produce a much better and healthier crop, for example, a much healthier corn or wheat or whatever it happens to be, but you also capture the methane, which then you could use for powering your equipment, whether it be your tractor or other type of equipment, your automobiles and stuff, trains and airplanes and things. And
think of what it would do for the economy. It used to be, if you've had an oil well on your property, you got rich, and you went, "Oh boy, I'm in oil." Now everybody's going to want to have a landfill.
Yep, exactly. Put it on my property.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you need acreage. You know, you can't do it in your backyard so much. So you need acreage. But it doesn't take that many pigs in order to generate enough natural gas to heat your home and to cook your food on. So that would be another project. I don't know if your
feedlots around the country could generate tons of methane.
They could.
Yeah.
They could. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Sure. Okay. Well,
so,
see,
we're doing it the natural way as opposed to this synthetic manufacturing technique this new technology of hydrolyzing water, for example. Like I said, very, very expensive, and the only value you get out of it is that you can say that I'm carbon neutral.
Well, then maybe this will stimulate more interest in methane, and someone will come along and say, "Hey, wait a minute," and it will revolutionize the way we live here. Because we actually, on a serious note, we've talked about this over the years from time to time, about how we could be so much better off with a lifestyle change and the way animals are raised and the way crops are raised. If we just get smart about it, the solution's right there. God has created an earth that takes care of itself and provides for us. We just need to get smart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, that means that you live in a rural environment as opposed to an urban environment.
I vote for that, yeah.
But that's better. That's better for people anyway. Of course, you know, land values would go up if there's more demand for the rural environment. But be that as it may, it's much healthier lifestyle. I can guarantee you that.
Well, there's a reason we bring in Dr. Don. He brings a whole lot of common sense to some far out ideas, and you just heard a sterling example of that. Don, also a member of the board of Creation Moments. I want to mention their website, creationmoments.com, is a resource for you for scientific information that explains, supports, validates the biblical story of creation. And that's basically what we're talking about, is getting back to the way God made things to work, and you know, just admitting that we're not the top of the heap. We're someplace in the middle, and we got to use what He's given us to use, including our brains, and to make things better. Don, thanks very much. Appreciate it, and good luck with the cold and your grapes there, and all that whining going on out in Garden Valley. Yeah.
Well, they're not whining yet. Okay. They haven't been pruned yet, good. So they whine when they get pruned.
Well, that hurts too. Yeah. It does. Okay. Well, you have a great week, and we'll see you next year.
Oh, is it next year already?
Well,
wow.
You know, I was about to say that.
Well, I'm sorry.
I was about to say that. You know,
just a tad slow. David.
I joined the call last, but I was going to say, see you next year. Mm-hmm. And now it can't even be first with that.
No, that's not. So.
Oh, boy. All right. Well,
not a tough day for the punt. Oh, man.
Don, regards to Andrea, Merry Christmas, because we're still in the season here, and we're enjoying Christmas and looking forward to New Year's and spending some time with you again as the broadcasts will prove out as time goes by here. So have a great week, okay?
Okay, thank you very much, and you all have I'm sure you all had a Merry Christmas as well.
We did.
Yeah, we did. Bye-bye. Thanks, Don.